Welcome to the Link Together podcast, a place where we unpack the connections between our faith and how it influences the way we live our daily lives. I'm your host, Bob Hegdahl, pastor for mission and outreach at Calvary Lutheran Church in Clarkston, Michigan, as well as a development pastor for our campus in Lapeer. Each episode offers different perspectives of different ways of living out our faith through our daily lives, featuring Talk to the Hand, an interview segment with someone from one of the campuses of Calvary, the communities we serve, and beyond. Special thanks goes out always to the fantabulous Master of Administration, Kelly Rinaldi, for her tireless assistance with PR, and Keith Van Gore, the field medic for all things audio. You both are appreciated. We also appreciate each of you, our listeners. We're glad you've joined us for episode number 7. If you will, please like and subscribe to the podcast, as well as sharing it with others. A new podcast generally arrives 2 times each month. Current mission and outreach opportunities at Calvary Lutheran Church. We continue our partnership with Lighthouse of Oakland County to distribute boxes with 35 pounds of non-perishable items for our neighbors and local agencies each Wednesday morning at our Clarkston campus. The boxes are distributed between 9 a.m. and 12 p.m. to individual families and local organizations that drive through for curbside pickup. If you would like to be part of this amazing serving opportunity, you can sign up at Calvary's website, calvaryinfo.org. The Baldwin Center currently serves over 12 to 1,500 sandwiches per week. As part of our ongoing partnership, Calvary has a fresh new way for us to continue this very important and impactful work in the Pontiac area. We began making 200 sandwiches per week and have now transitioned to 300 per week. The Baldwin Center reminded us that being part of this ministry is important, as the sandwich provided might be the only food their clients receive for the day. Serving opportunities include shoppers, meat slicers, sandwich makers, and packers. Calvary PPE protocols to include facial coverings and social distancing is required. We are also looking for sponsors to support this new program. Providing 1 week of sandwiches costs between $150 and $200. To help sponsor this effort, please write a check and denote Hunger Initiative in the memo line. Do you like helping others, helping neighbors with small home repairs and projects? We're looking for a few people interested in serving as an extension of our partnership with Clarkston Community Church. We are looking for skilled and unskilled labor for small construction and rehab projects in the Clarkston area. Generally, there are multiple projects occurring at the same time, so all levels of help are encouraged and welcomed. If you are interested in any of these mission and outreach opportunities, please reach out to Pastor Bob Hegdahl at 313-384-9659 or bhegdahl at calvary-lutheran.org. It is now time for Spiritual Snack. The Spiritual Snack word for this episode is gratitude. Gratitude is defined as the quality of being thankful, or to show appreciation for, and to return kindness to others. Sounds like gratitude is a pretty cool thing. Often when I hear the word gratitude, the first thing that pops into my head is attitude. I'm not sure those two words are much alike. I experience attitude whenever I announce that it's time to put down the screens for a while. I experience attitude when either of my dogs is expecting to be petted, but I'm not doing it fast enough. Eat your vegetables almost always accompanies attitude. However, I think when I hear the word gratitude and then immediately think of the word attitude, it's just my brain reminding me to attempt to live my life with an attitude of gratitude. As I get older, and I realize I took a lot of blows to the head when I wore the clothes of a younger man, I'm grateful for these little reminders. I have also read that expressing an attitude of gratitude is good for my mental health and can make me more empathetic. Both of those sound pretty good to me. I really like what G.K. Chesterton said about gratitude. He said, "I would maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought, and that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder." When was the last time that your heart was filled with gratitude? If you can't remember, it might be time to ask yourself what sort of attitude you might be putting forth to those you encounter. It sure seems to be important to engage in gratitude. And if you're like me, you might need to spend some time being more intentional about expressing gratitude toward others. Maybe you need a process. I know that can be really helpful for some people. Gratitude is the quality of being thankful. The first step is assessing yourself by asking, when the opportunity arises, what is my level of readiness to show appreciation towards others and to return kindness? Would you consider yourself a natural at expressing gratitude, or more a work in progress? Either way, there is hope found in the Bible, as well as a few good reminders. 1 Thessalonians 5 reminds us to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. For those not yet feeling the gratitude vibe yet, Corinthians 9:11 says, "You will be enriched in every way to be generous, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God." It sounds like the Bible has some good food for thought when it comes to developing and maintaining an attitude of gratitude. Another good spot is at the movies. In the recent film, It's a Wonderful Day in the Neighborhood, a film about Mr. Rogers, we get a glimpse of a way to begin the process of expressing gratitude for the people in our lives. In one scene, Mr. Rogers is in a diner with a writer that has come to Pittsburgh so that he can expose the real Mr. Rogers. He doesn't believe he's like the man he portrays on the long-running PBS show. As they sit across from each other, Mr. Rogers asks the writer if he would participate in an exercise with him. The writer reluctantly agrees, and Mr. Rogers asks him to remain quiet for a full minute, to be still. He then asks the writer to think, to concentrate for that entire minute of silence about all the people that have loved him into being. What a wonderful way to get the juices flowing as you begin to recall all the people who have loved you into being the person that you are. After doing it myself, I have to tell you, is an experience I will not soon forget and will repeat often. Gratitude can really shed the spotlight on all of the things and all of the people that we could be thankful for, thankful that they are a part of our lives. Remembering who loved you into becoming the person you are is valuable. Having gratitude for their willingness to help mold and shape you is also valuable. A Vietnamese proverb says it best: when eating fruit, remember the one who planted the tree. Who are the people in your life who help to plant love, forgiveness, hope, and joy in you? Gratitude, the quality of being thankful to others, to show appreciation for and to return kindness to others. I don't know about you, but I think the world could use a little bit more of both. It is now time for the Talk to the Hand segment. My guest today is Stacy Puzio. Stacy is works for Clarkston School District and is a member of Calvary, and we're just delighted that she agreed to be here today. So, Stacy, one of the things that we like to do at the beginning of the Talk to the Hand interview is to ask if you would just share with our listeners just a little glimpse of your story, you know, sort of as how you became a person of faith.
All right. Well, thank you, Bob. You know, actually, I've always been Lutheran. I actually grew up in St. Clair Shores and was a member at Bethel Lutheran Church. I was baptized there, confirmed there, got married there, and so was there probably about 27 years or so. Yeah. And so it's always just been a part of my life. My dad took me to church when even no one else was going in the family. Like, I would say, please take me to church and drop me off. And you know, I think about my parents, they were leaders of the youth group for a long time. And so there was always youth around our house. And even my dad was a softball coach where I played. We'll put that in quotation marks. That I just had to be a fill-in, you know, type of thing. But I even attended the leadership training school as a youth member and that piece. So when I moved to Clarkston, my pastor at Bethel at the time had said, you really want to find a church there just because you want to be in proximity of, you know, where you live, and makes sense, especially as you have family and that. So came to Calvary and about 22 years ago, and the first day I was in tears because it wasn't my church, right? But it was the exact right place to be, and so I'm thankful to be here. And so when I really think about my faith, it's really connected to my family and friends, that there's longtime people who are a part of my life who come from both Bethel and Calvary. So that's how my faith is connected.
That's awesome. So thank you. So I'm a little bit curious about something that you said, and I wonder if you could, you know, expound on a little bit. You said that there were times when just your dad was going, and then you said, I want to go as well. I wonder, what was it that was so interesting to you that you wanted to go when it was just your dad going, and you just said you advocated for yourself to go as well? Yeah. What was that about?
I guess if it just felt right. I don't know how to even explain it. It just felt like that was where I needed to be, and have that as part of my life and part of my practice, because I was probably, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old, right? So I couldn't drive, so I had to rely on someone else to even take me. So I think it was just a part of my being. I can't explain it, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, kudos to your dad for listening and bringing you. So as you look at your life today, you know, in what specific ways do you see your faith affecting the way that you live your daily life? It could be at work, in your home life, with your friends, in the school system which you work. Mm-hmm. How do you see your faith affecting the way that you're living your daily life?
You know, recently I've been reflective on what my role is at Clarkston Schools, and I feel like I'm actually living into my role and what my gifts are. Probably about 20 years ago when I was first here at Calvary, I took Debbie's Discovering Spiritual Gifts class and took a booster about 8, you know, years ago, and both times the same gifts rose to the top for me. And so, you know, when I think about Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, I feel like I'm actually doing work for the Lord in the work that I'm doing at Clarkston. And so when I think about that, like for an example, you know, two of the gifts that lifted up was nurturing leadership and wisdom. And so about 2 years ago, I started Well-being Wednesday messages that I sent out to my staff. And I, you know, read different articles or listen to different podcasts to see different things that feel like, oh, I need to share this with somebody else. And sometimes even those ideas come colliding in there. I get an email, I get an article, and I hear a podcast that are all around the same topic. It's like, oh, it's time for me to share this with someone else, you know? So I just think about some of those pieces and how those messages help to lift up other people. And I think there's a reason for those coming to me and being able to share that with others and share wisdom that I've gathered from those different things and that nurturing leadership to lift up for others. I guess when I think about home, I strive to, you know, do for heart, mind, body, and soul, right? It says, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, right? And so I try to live by that and taking care of and have encouraging, you know, my family to attend to heart, mind, body, and soul. In fact, even today, my youngest sent me a message and said, can you turn the Wi-Fi back on? This is what I did for heart. This is what I did for mind, right? So knew that that was an expectation type of thing. And so I just think about for myself that, you know, I wake up in the morning and take time for devotional and take some time for exercise. A lot of times I'm the only one up because I get up so early, so there's not much heart at that point that I'm connecting to, right? But trying to just be thoughtful. And so I think my faith is living out in that way of really attending to our being so that we can be better out in the world with what we do.
Fantastic. I didn't mention at the beginning of our time together, but you have, I think, one of the coolest job titles I may have ever heard. So we just share with us quickly what your title is in Clarkson Schools.
Okay, and it keeps shifting. So, yeah. But it's but my title is about well-being and community partnership. So that's really what my role is in Clarkston. And so I'm thankful that there's a focus on well-being. It's a part of our strategic plan in Clarkston. Right, is about taking care of one another and taking care of ourselves. So, yeah, it is cool.
it's amazing because I don't know this to be true, but I can't imagine that it's as focal a point in a lot of other districts as Clarkston went with intentionality to make it a sort of a benchmark of who they are as a school district. So, you know, kudos to Clarkston Schools.
Yeah, thank you.
So as you look up through your life, who were some of the people in your life that impacted your faith walk, people who modeled living their faith through how they led their daily lives? And as you think about them, what parts of what you witnessed from them became part of how you live out your faith?
Okay. When I think about, there's probably a lot of different people in all my path, whether I was at Bethel or Calvary and through life. I even went to a parochial Lutheran school from fourth to eighth grade, right? So there were a lot of different people. So I think one person that stood out that came to mind as I thought about this was, his name is Dr. Stricker. He's long been gone from this earth, but he and his wife, Ann, had this place up north, wherever that is. You know, I don't remember as a kid where that was. But he had this beautiful barn that had like three high bunk beds and, you know, multiple of them, and intentionally made space that a lot of kids could go, right? And so we would go and gather for a weekend and just have fun with that. And one breakfast, I remember sitting there, and he just leaned over to me and said, I can see that you're a leader. I see that you have some potential, you know? And so as a kid, I mean, that's 30 plus years ago that he said that to me, right? That stuck with me. So when I think about him and him doing that, right? One, having a safe place for kids to gather and to come together and just be, right? And then also being able to voice and lift up and nurture, to say something, you know, for him to whisper in my ear, I see you as a leader, as whatever age I was, 13, you know, 14 years old. I think that is key and instilled in me that, you know, as adults, we have the opportunity to create safe spaces and help give those nudges and help kids see something that we see that maybe they don't even see in themselves, you know, at that time. And I think of another person, her name's Kelly McCarthy. She was a member here, and she and her family have moved over to Grand Rapids recently, or more than recently, it was a couple years ago. But, you know, she is this like this beautiful example of a woman and what it means to be faith-filled and serving. And she's probably the most prayerful person I know, you know. And so when I want to probably be more like her. I need to strive towards that and leaving a legacy, you know, for her children and family. And I would like to do the same, you know, for my kiddos.
Yeah. That's powerful. You know, seed planters and seed scatterers are who, you know, we're called to be. And it sounds like you had some people who really, you know, invested in scattering seed where you were and then let God do what God does and rise people up. And that's really powerful. So as you think about your life today, what areas in your life do you wish reflected more of your faith or the person that you are to the people that you encounter? So in what areas of life do you wish reflected more of your faith or who the person you are to those people that you encounter?
Probably every area of my life needs, right? I don't think we're ever done, right? I think that's just something I need to be reflective of. And I think maybe one of those pieces is there are people in my life who are very prayerful. I mentioned Kelly. There's, you know, colleagues and friends who I would say the same. And I want to be more mindful and more intentional about my prayer life. I have recently put in like reminders of when I get in the car to send a reminder to pray, you know, just to give some standing points and start to make that more of a practice for me. I think, you know, I want to be more intentional and but also learn how to be more spontaneous. I hear people say, oh, I thought about this and I just prayed right away. And it's like, oh, you know, that's what I need to put as part of my practice. That's what I would say for me, where I need to grow.
Yeah, setting those reminders is really, really a great way to be intentional about it. And it also, if it's on a calendar or if it just comes up, when someone asks you, hey, can you do something now? And you just say, no, I'm busy at that time. No one ever says, oh, really? What are you doing?
That's right.
So you just go to the next time. So exactly. By having those times carved out, you know, you're making a commitment to yourself and to God that you're going to spend that time. And you don't have to worry about somebody's feelings getting hurt when you're not available.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's where Debbie has said many times, say a good no so you can say an excellent yes.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Perfect.
Yep.
Yep. So I'm going to give you a chance to us to scatter some seed now. So what advice would you give to somebody who's out there who might be listening, who wants to live their faith through their daily life, but they're really not sure to begin? You know, what would you suggest for them?
You know, I do believe and recognize that we are all uniquely made, right? And we all have our own gifts. And so how we live out our faith really could look different for each person. You know, again, when that Discovery Spiritual Gifts class for me, it wasn't the typical of serving or evangelism, right? Like that, those didn't lift to the top. And so for some people, serving or, like I said, evangelism is at the top, and that is a gift. And so just because that might not be my gift doesn't mean that I'm not living out my faith, right? Mm-hmm. I think there's a reason that that's their gifts, and there's a reason it's not my gift, you know. So it doesn't mean if I'm not acting in a service way or preaching or, you know, sharing the word, you know, that doesn't mean I'm not being faithful. I need to be mindful. So I think perhaps having an opportunity like that of discovering what are your gifts and really digging deep into yourself would help to give some points of where are places that I really could live out my faith.
That's great advice. It's sort of like you're your piece of the puzzle, and you fit into the puzzle in the shape and the manner in which, you know, you are, and it fits in with other pieces that are shaped and molded and called differently. So that's how we make the puzzle complete. So one of the things that encouraged me that I really wanted to spend this time with you in the talk to the hand chair is that I was really moved by something that you did or you were a part of. I don't know exactly what your role was, but your name was on the letter that I came across. There was a program that you started. I think it was either right as the pandemic began or into the pandemic. It was called Be the Light. And I thought it was such a great idea and such a way for people who, I think during times of pandemic, there were many areas in people's lives where they just felt helpless or wanted to do something, but we're not sure what can we do when we're sitting in our house or we're, you know, on Zoom calls or, you know, and I think this was just a unbelievable initiative that was taken by you and by the Clarkson schools. Could you just tell us a little bit about, you know, Be the Light, how it came to be and sort of what the results were of people, you know, engaging in it?
Okay. So it's actually multifaceted. So it was a couple years ago that just a kickoff with our staff of well-being. I actually brought in people from around the community. I had 23 different community entities who came in to provide well-being for our staff, right? So it was about that. And I kicked it off about, it was a quote based from the author Toni Morrison, and it was, when a child walks in the room, your child or anybody else's child, do your eyes light up? That's what they're looking for. And so we talked about, in order to be a light and to help that light to shine for somebody else, we also need to, for our own light to be able to shine, we need to attend to that. So that was the connection for well-being, right? And so thinking about, you know, if that's what we want for our kiddos, you know, if they're coming in the hallway, onto the bus, into the food line, they're in snow pants in the middle of January running at us, right? Like, that's what we want. And so we set that up, and we even ask them to have accountability partners to help each other to still to be the light. So that started, and that was in August of 2019, that we were just like, be the light. Like, how could we do that? Well, then COVID hit, and so a teacher contacted me, and he's like, Stacey, what if we do something to help support the frontline workers? Just say something that we see you and we appreciate you, right? So we put together every grade level to have some focus that they could write a note or draw a picture or something that would be, and we have 13 grade levels, and we had 13 different areas that you could focus in on to send a note or a letter to, right? And so it then morphed into some, we had kindergartners singing, I think it was "You Are My Sunshine," and they, you know, through Zoom call, we, you know, figured out how to do that. And also our orchestra, they played Climb Every Mountain, you know, and so got that put together. And again, that was through Zoom of kiddos just put, you know, turning in their videos and sharing that. So we were able to deliver those out to the frontline workers, the actual physical papers, and then post some of those videos and the drama. I think even our theater arts kids did something and shared something out as well. So just to, again, be a light, right? Just to connect with kiddos and what they can do to help somebody else to feel good. And I even got letters back from people saying thank you, or even when I dropped them off at like Kroger, and you know, it was like, really, it, you know, and so then pulling that out, that felt really good for them. And so it's, you know, it was also through volunteers that, you know, we're trying to be the light. We served over 200,000 meals from March until August, and so we had volunteers come in and do that, right? So there's different ways that we're working to be the light in Clarkston. In fact, I was given a generous donation that I was able to set up a foundation to help be the light for people, especially who are struggling financially, students and families in our district. So our mission is to provide support to empower and enable individual and family growth through the collaboration of community resources, power of volunteers, and generosity of donors. And so it's my expectation that we'll grow this. And yet I recognize it's not by myself, right? We think about Calvary, we say we're better together. Yeah. And I have partnered with Calvary, with the Clarkston United Methodist Church, Waypoint, the Clarkston Foundation, Clarkston Rotary, the Lions Club, the Independence Library, Clarkston Area Youth Assistance, Clarkston Coalition for Youth, our Optimist Club, and Easter Seals to help do this. So I think as we continue to grow, how do we be the light? That's an area that I believe that we'll be able to continue to grow together as a community and come together to truly be the light.
That's really it's just moving, you know. And when I think about it, the letter that I came across is, you know, about being thankful. In this case, it was thankful to the frontline workers. And I think, you know, as not just as people of faith, but as people in general, I think during times of pandemic or not, you know, we're really good at questioning things, and we're really good at being critical. But one of the things we often don't spend time with intentionality is to really share thankfulness to others. And you know, I've read that the least prayed prayers are prayers of thanksgiving. So you know, we have questions, we have concerns, we have criticisms, but we're really quick with those. But the thanksgivings are so impactful to people when they receive them, and just to be acknowledge that you're thankful for what, you know, someone or some entity did for you. It just goes a long way. So this is, that sounds like the whole way this unfolded really has been giving you the opportunity to share that message and to empower people and to let people know, like we say at Calvary also, you know, because you matter, you know, you're a front line and you matter, you know, you're loading my bread up into the bread aisle, and you matter. So, so thank you so much for, what a great idea. But really thank you today for this interview. I really appreciate it. I think people are going to be really interested in hearing what you have to say.
Thank you.
And, way that you connect your faith and life. And I really believe that it will impact people as well as they listen. they'll be triggered into like you were triggered, and someone mm-hmm. shared with you that you're in, oh, you should be a leader.
Yeah.
And here you are, you know, helping lead a school district. So we always say God works in us, through us, and despite us.
Yeah.
You know, so we always count on that, right?
Yeah.
So just thank you so much. This is going to come out in the next couple of days. And I'm just really looking forward to having people you know, drink it in and hear what you had to say today. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
The Link Together, Connecting Faith in Daily Life podcast is a ministry of Calvary Lutheran Church, with campuses in Clarkston, White Lake, Pontiac, Lapeer, Pinckney, and beyond. Calvary Lutheran Church is here because you matter. At Calvary, people are invited to come as they really are and to become all that God has made them to be. We believe that we are blessed so that we may be a blessing to others, and our mission is ultimately to know Christ and to make Christ known. To find out more about Calvary Lutheran Church and all the vibrant ministries, check out our webpage, calvaryinfo.org, or better yet, attend one of our weekly worship experiences, either in person or online. Well, that's all the time we have for episode number 7. And until next time, keep making those faith and daily life connections. And remember that you might be the first or only Bible that some people may ever read.